going up to lead him around, ended up in the mush, getting all soaked, good and wet. And if you look at the records, interestingly enough, my team ran quicker than Doug Swindley's team did that year from Cripple to Ruby. But the thing was, I should have stopped. I should have relaxed. Brenda had done the mail trail that year, and I'd even lost the mail trail when I dumped the sled. So I had to go back a quarter of a mile and find it because I needed the mail. So I'm saying a prayer, God, why? Why am I supposed to be doing this? I knew it had something to do with kids. I knew I needed to run the race because he told me to, and he opened all the doors for me to run the race, got me out of the real estate office, out of the law office, out of the mortgage office, and I'm in the wilderness of Alaska where I absolutely loved it. And I had not talked to a single soul while I am saying that prayer, God, why? I pull into Ruby. Sorry to say, I did not say anything to Billy Honey. He checked me in. I was mad, wasn't given any type of message to anybody at that point. I fed my dogs, bedded them down, went in, pulled off my parka. The ice fell out. If you remember the old community center, it had some chicken wire up on the furnace, and hung my coat up and took a quick nap. Sun started coming through the windows, and I'm getting ready, and I'm putting my boots on, and I look down, and I see these dress shoes. And then I feel a hand on my shoulder. And then in the strongest South Georgia accent, the next human conversation I had, the next was a guy who goes, are you Bill Borden from Georgia? And I looked up, and the young man said, well, my name's Dean Davis, and we're the missionaries here in town. And he quoted some scriptures and then said, you need to finish this race so you can go home and tell people how anything is possible through God. Well, needless to say, I ended up passing people and doing good. Well, every time I'd pass somebody, they quit. So Mark Nordman started calling me the Terminator. I finally got ahead of a few people that didn't quit and finished the race. Wasn't last, wasn't even next to last. But I finished on my first attempt, which wasn't bad for a Georgia boy. But then the next year, there was no snow in Anchorage. We went up, stayed with Cap Chastain in Manly Hot Springs and watched the race came through. And I asked Cap if he knew somebody that could fly me out so I could tell Dean Davis what it meant to me. And he said, yeah, our missionary pilot can fly you out there. So Les and Earl Malpass, they flew us out and said, I'll fly you out there, but Dean's not there anymore. But we want to have church services there again. And the so flew him out there, and we got all that dealt with, and I said, sorry, Billy, I didn't talk to you. Billy's a great guy, and I didn't want him to be mad at me. But as we're walking back across the tarmac, Earl said, I don't know why, and I didn't know what to tell Dean. But Dean Davis says he didn't know why he was called to be a missionary in Ruby, Alaska last February, but lost the calling to be here in April. And I said, tell me where he's at, because I can tell you why he had to be in Ruby last March. And I spent 2.5 hours on the phone with Dean a couple of weeks later while he was pastoring a church up in Tennessee to explain it to him. Mm-hmm. So that's some of the Iditarod experiences for me.